blessing me. Oh Lord, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We thank you because all of us can count our blessings and just remember how far you brought us and how you are keeping us. I pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight and will bring glory and honor to you. Bless your word as it goes forth and bless your word as it's received, that you will be glorified in the midst of it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I've noticed something in life, and I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, but many times when you get to a place or when a person starts celebrating something in life, celebration always results in somebody stepping up to criticize. A few people will celebrate you, but many people will criticize you, resent you, and even grow bitter toward you. Matter of fact, if you want to give a true test of somebody who's a real friend will celebrate your successes as much as they celebrate their own. Just this past week, an NBA player, National Basketball Association player by the name of Bam Adebayo, had a record-setting game. He scored 83 points in one game. It's an accomplishment that had only been exceeded by one person in NBA history. Wilt Chamberlain, back in 1962, scored 100 points in a game. Bam scored 83 points in a game, surpassing the modern record set by Kobe Bryant 20 years ago when Kobe scored 81 points. Now, Bam's game was a model of consistency. He had 43 points in the first half, 40 points in the second half. But you would be surprised that despite his consistency between the first half and the second half, the fact that he scored 31 points in the first quarter, 12 in the second, 19 in the third, and 21 in the fourth quarter, there were people who were critical of his 83 points. Some of them were critical because they felt like Bam, not being a superstar player, didn't have the right to surpass Kobe Bryant's record of 81 points. Some of them were mad because they felt like the last 5 minutes of the game, they said, was a sham because the other team was fouling them and they left him in the game, even though he only played 42 minutes out of 48 minutes. They had something negative to say. And Bam was asked over and over again how he felt about the accomplishment after realizing and hearing that there were people who just weren't happy for him. And my brothers and sisters, here's the simple truth I've learned in life. Everybody is not going to be happy about the good things that happen in your life. And sometimes the unhappiness is with people outside of your concentric circle of contact, but many times you'll find out the haters are inside your family. See, the danger is if you're not careful, you'll allow their criticism to silence your celebration. If you're not careful, their negativity will poison your gratitude. If you're not careful, their bitterness will rob you of the joy of your blessing. If you're not careful, they will suck you into a vortex of viciousness. They will cause you to miss the great things that God is doing in your life because they can't celebrate what God has done for you. In our text today, we have a man who has done some great things to the glory of God. We have a man who has gone through some challenges and difficulties in his life. He has gotten to a place now where he is honoring God. He is glorifying God. He is praising God. But he has somebody close to him who can't be happy for him because they are bitter towards him. And David has to choose how he's going to respond to the bitterness from his wife, Michal. Even if her pain is justified in her mind, David has to decide how he is going to respond. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to somebody from the thought how to realize, listen carefully, you're too blessed to be bitter. How to realize you're too blessed to be bitter. On last week and the previous 2 weeks, we talked about how to overcome bitterness so you can be blessed. Michal, the Bible says in verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, her life was so put in a shambles because of her unresolved bitterness. And the Bible says that because of that contempt, that disdain for David, that she remained childless the rest of her life. But my brothers and sisters, today I want to flip the coin over. I want to talk about David, because David has to choose how he's going to respond to this bitter woman. And there's somebody in here right now, the Holy Spirit already brought into your mind some bitter people that have not necessarily allowed you to respond the way you should have. Especially when the folk are close to you and they come with negativity when they should be positive. They come with ingratitude when they should be grateful. How do you respond to those kinds of people? See, if you're blessed long enough, if you walk with God long enough, if you experience God's favor long enough, somebody will feel the need to come at you the wrong way. And it's amazing how they couch their anger, how they couch their bitterness. They'll couch it in language like, I'm just checking you because I don't want you to get beside yourself. Or you've changed since you've been, you know, walking like you've been walking. You arrogant. I want to make sure that they are the pride police. Right. And they have a responsibility to pop your bubble before you get too big. Old folks used to say it like this. They say, you know, you've gotten too big for your britches. Right. Starting to smell yourself. You know, and I got to check you and bring you back down to earth. How do you respond when somebody comes at you the wrong way? If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into how to realize you are too blessed to be bitter. Number one, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. If you're going to recognize and realize you're too blessed to be bitter, you've got to remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. Verse 21, David retorts to Michal. I love that word, retort, right? It's like coming back with keen insight, right? I'm focused on what you said, and let me come back at you with what you said. He says to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. I love David's comeback. Because David is coming to her as if to remind her of whose household she's in. David's like, now you do know that God chose me above, listen to the language, your father and his family. You do know you were part of that family. And God chose me over your daddy and his family. And David says, he appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. Now, remember, I said, you got to remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. David has received nothing but contempt and disdain from his wife, Michal. Her bitterness robbed her of her future blessings, and David now has to make a decision as to how he would respond to her. And David recognizes that in order for me, listen, not to be bitter in my present, I've got to remember God's goodness in my life and my past. So David says, God chose me. Now watch this. He's going beyond the immediate past of the second chance that God gave him to transport the ark back into Jerusalem. He goes way back. David says, I was chosen, Michal, before I knew you. I was with God before I was with you. See, you remember David. Write these verses down so you can look him up when you get a chance. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 37. 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37. God had blessed David by keeping him when he took care of his father's flock. He goes down to the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. Goliath is out there challenging the armies of God. And David goes down there and Saul sees him. And David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, you got to remember, David was not the biggest. He was not the strongest. He was not the most strappingest man in his own family, let alone in the Israelite army. But when David comes down and he hears this uncircumcised Philistine talking noise about the armies of God, David says, I'll go out there and fight them. And Saul's response is basically, who are you? You're not even in the army. You don't have any armor. You don't have a sword. You don't have a shield. Who are you? And David has to give Saul a resume. David says to Saul, I'm the one who is taking care of my father's flock, and I had to protect them against predators, lions and bears. And there were times when the predators would take a member of the flock and I'd have to strike them, I'd have to hit them, and if necessary, I'd have to kill them. And David basically says, I'm just looking at one more lion and one more bear to be handled out there in that uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul, not knowing that David had already been appointed the next king of Israel, Saul sees David and says, well, if you're crazy enough to go out there, let me give you my armor. And when he goes to put his armor on him and give him his sword, David says, man, your stuff doesn't fit me. I can't fight my fight wearing your stuff. And so he goes out there with a slingshot and five smooth stones. I'm going to talk about how to be victorious over the Goliaths in your life later on, because it's important for you to understand that David's victory was not accidental or coincidental. It happened because David was true to himself. And because he was true to himself and didn't try to fight a battle with somebody else's armor on, he was able to be victorious by the power of God. We'll talk about that another Sunday. So here is David. He says, I've been protected all my life. God has been watching over me. And then when you go down to 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David goes out to fight Goliath. And the Bible says, David said to the Philistine, verse 45, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And the Bible says, David takes that sling, hurls that rock, hits Goliath in the head. Goliath falls out. David walks up and uses Goliath's sword to cut off Goliath's head. and walks back into the camp carrying Goliath's head. David said, God has been with me through lions, tigers, and bears. And God has been with me through the giant Goliath. And then David says to basically to Michael, I remember when your daddy was jealous. Because when I came back from some battles with the Philistines and the sisters started singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands, that your daddy was hating. Tried to assassinate me, tried to have me killed, and God kept me through it all. Watch this. David remembered how the Lord had blessed him in his past. And David would not allow the bitterness of a woman in his present to negate God's blessings in his past. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. What are you talking about, Pastor? Some of you have allowed the negativity that's in front of you to rob you of your view of God's blessings in your life from your yesterday. You're letting somebody bring you down when God is the one who's been lifting you up the whole time. God says, stop looking at the person that's in front of you. Stop listening to the person that's in front of you. Stop allowing the person that's in front of you to shape you, to hurt you, to get you to act outside of yourself, and remember how good God has been to you. Imagine criticizing somebody at their graduation. You know, I hate when I go to a graduation and somebody gets up piously pontificating. Please hold your applause until all of the graduates have been announced. Thank you so much. Now, and you know there's somebody like us that ain't gonna listen. Right? They call your baby's name, Shaniqua Jaquetta Wilson. And you already know when she come up, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Because they not like us, right? But here's the point. The celebration of that day is rooted in the struggles of the yesterday. See, when you don't know the late nights I spent, when you don't know the sacrifices that have been made, you don't know the struggles I've gone through, you don't know the prayers that have been answered when I walk across that stage, you don't know why I'm shouting. You don't know why I'm rejoicing. And here's the same that happens to you. When people don't know what you've been through, they might criticize where you are, not knowing how you got there. He's got to tell Michael, Michael, you're my wife, but you don't know my story. And when people come at you and they are bitter, remind yourself, God has been good to me before. God brought me through the storms before. God did it for me before. God opened doors before. And if he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. Look at 1 Samuel 7:12. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it upon between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Psalm 103, verse 2. Let's read it together. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. But here's what David wants you to know. Not only do you need to remember how God has blessed you in your past, don't forget how God has blessed you in your present. Number one, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. Number two, you must realize how the Lord is blessing you right now. Everybody say right now. How the Lord is blessing you right now. Right now, you are here and you are sitting here in the blessings of the Lord. Right now, you are watching wherever you're watching, and you are watching because of the blessings of the Lord. David says to this woman, he says, listen, Michal, I remember where the Lord has brought me from. But I'm not going to succumb or lower myself to your bitterness, because not only do I remember what the Lord has done, I know what the Lord is doing right now. Come on with me, if you will. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park right there. David says, I remember when God gave me another chance. I remember when I went to get the ark of God and I went with 30,000 warriors and I went for warfare when I should have went in worship. I remember when I went and I had good intentions, but I didn't follow God's instructions. And I remember when Uzzah died and we left the ark of God at Obed-Edom's house for 90 days because I thought there was something wrong with the ark and there was really something wrong with how I was moving it. And David said, when I heard that Obed-Edom and his household were blessed in 90 days, I realized that the problem wasn't with God, the problem was with me. And God gave me another chance. God gave me an opportunity to come back. This time, instead of coming as a warrior, I came as a worshiper. This time, instead of taking 30,000 troops, I brought Levites with me. This time, we didn't come to fight, we came in faith. And this time we were prepared to bring the ark back to Jerusalem the way God commanded. You remember after six steps, the Bible says they stopped and offered sacrifices because David recognized the power of on the way worship. He gave God praise, not when they got there. He started on the way to getting there. He comes into Jerusalem after a 10-mile journey. They've been celebrating, praising, worshiping God all along the way. They come into Jerusalem celebrating. God is blessed by David. David blesses God. He blesses the people. He's on the way to bless his household because he recognizes that right now he is being blessed. My brothers and my sisters, listen. Somebody under the sound of my voice, God says, you need to start blessing me for another chance. We used to say he's the God of a second chance. But how many of you know you just blew through that second chance a long time ago? You in that 30th, 40th chance. You done tried over and over again. Just thank God he gave you another chance. And listen, don't fail to recognize your current blessings because you want bigger blessings. You got to learn how to celebrate where you are, because when you learn how to celebrate where you are, you can appreciate where God is taking you. And you don't have to wait till you arrive. You can bless God just for the progress that you're making in the process of becoming the person that God wants you to be. Somebody in here, you're already blessed. Matter of fact, you're blessed right now. Truth of the matter is, some of y'all, I don't know if you realize you've been blessed or not, because you're sitting here looking like you've been sipping formaldehyde. And you don't act like you've been blessed. You don't celebrate the blessing you already have. You don't celebrate God's presence. You don't celebrate God's grace. You don't celebrate the fact that God has not given up on you. Look at Lamentations 3, verse 22, 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I don't know how many of you have a retail gift and you love to shop. But one of the things about shopping that most people enjoy is getting something new. Even if you go to a secondhand store, if you go to a thrift store, it's new to you. And there's something about putting something on new that brings with it a level of joy and excitement. Some of y'all are like, I didn't know how to explain that, Pastor. Thank you so much. But God says there's something that you should be more excited about than something new to you. Or new with a tag in it. He says, every morning you get new mercies. Every morning you wake up and you go to your spiritual closet. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. And God says, I've given you new mercies. James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. I told you, number one, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. Number two, you must realize how the Lord is blessing you right now. Number three, here it is, you must respond properly to the Lord's blessings in your life. You must respond properly to the Lord's blessings in your life. Now remember, David is a worshiper. I believe one of the reasons that God says David is a man after his own heart, we know it's not because David was sinless, because he wasn't sinless. We know David has some major moral failures in his life. But God says he's a man after my own heart. And I believe David was a man after God's own heart because David was a worshiper. And he recognized that worship was not just an event. Worship for him was a lifestyle. And I want you to notice something. Every time God blessed him, he honored God. Every step of the way, he honored God. He responded properly to the blessings of God. So much so that even when she saw the king dancing and celebrating God, her criticism of him did not affect him in the least, because he understood my proper response to being blessed by God is to live a life of worship that honors God. Everything you do, my brothers and sisters, is an act of worship. Listen to me carefully. Everything you do is an act of worship. Even when you're not in church on Sunday, Monday through Saturday, everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you touch, everywhere you place your feet is an act of worship. Some of y'all say, wait a minute, I'm not in church 24 hours, 7 days a week. No, no, it's an act of worship. Here's the only question: who's on the throne when you are worshiping at that moment? Because when you go where you shouldn't go and you say what you shouldn't say and you touch what you got no business touching and your feet take you where you got no business going, you are worshiping at that moment. When your mind thinks what it is thinking and your mouth says what it shouldn't be saying, you are worshiping at that moment. The question is, who is getting the glory from your worship? David responds to the blessings of God with worship. Whether it was the six steps, or it's coming into Jerusalem, or it's setting the ark up in its reserved space, or it's blessing the people, or it's on his way to bless his household, David recognizes that his proper response to God's blessings is to worship God. Can I tell y'all a little secret? When folk come at us wrong way, when they come at us talking to us out of the side of their neck, and you start looking at them, you stop looking at God. When folk come at you crazy, and they're trying to pull you in to their craziness, it's at that moment you got to choose how you're going to respond to the blessings that God has brought into your life. That's why you got to remember so you know how to respond. Because the craziness of other people many times should not even be dignified with a response. Every phone call doesn't have to be answered. Every story doesn't have to be read or responded to. Everybody else's emergency doesn't have to be your emergency. Some of y'all need to look at your lives right now and recognize that the majority of the drama in your life is somebody else's drama. And you have incorporated, you have engrafted, you have made their drama your drama. The text says David worshiped and danced. He gave God some praise. He's criticized, but he says, no, I ain't worried about the criticism. He says, I am giving God the praise. Have you ever seen a team win a championship? I don't care what it is, Olympic gold medal, football, basketball, softball. It doesn't matter what team sport it is. When somebody wins something and they start celebrating, you know what I've noticed? They don't ever look around to think about what other people think. They don't ever look around to mind, I ain't want to holler this much. No, because somebody may think I don't have any home training. They act a fool. Why? Because celebration is natural when you have a victory. And my brothers and sisters, be careful not to become so sophisticated that you forget how to celebrate God. Don't become so polished that you lose your passion to praise God, because God has been too good for you and to you. Look at Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall sometimes come being my. Was it? Oh, it says his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wonder what words are continually in your mouth. Can't say amen, say ouch. Because there's some stuff that's continually in your mouth and is not praise to God. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let me get to the final challenge and then I'm going to let you go. I told you, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. Number two, you must realize how the Lord is blessing you right now. Number three, you must respond properly to the Lord's blessings in your life. Number four, you must respond to the bitterness of others in a way that glorifies God. Remember, David is blessing the Lord. David blesses the people. And David is on his way to bless his household. Michael can't let the blessings get to the house before she meets him and checks him in the street. And the Bible says when she checked him in the street, the blessings never made it to the house. But watch this. When she says, verse 20, how glorious the king of Israel looked today. He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do, as if his praise of God was beneath him. David retorted, I was dancing before the Lord. So he says, first, let me check you. Your criticism of my dancing is really you out of your lane. Because I wasn't dancing for your approval. I was dancing before the Lord. I'm not a singer, y'all. I enjoy singing, but, you know, my late friend Brenda Waters would say, you got music in you. We just got to figure out how to get it out of you, right? But it was one Sunday we were here, and, man, I'm just worshiping. I'm praising God. And I have on my headset mic, and I'm just, man, you know, going in. And we had a staff member who's no longer here. This is not the reason she's not here. She's just no longer here. And she came to me, and she said, oh, Pastor, ooh, some of them notes she was hitting. Oh, my God, I don't know where them notes came from. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, because I wasn't singing to you. I, I wasn't singing to you for your evaluation of my musical ability. I'm giving praise to God. You just eavesdropping. You should have been minding your business. You should have been giving God your own praise. Have you ever noticed that when you are praising God, you don't have time to hear somebody else praising God? Like when you are really worshiping God, you don't have time to hear somebody else and whether or not they worshiping God. He says, I was dancing before the Lord. He chose me above you, your father, and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I am willing to act like a fool in order to show my joy in the Lord. But don't miss verse 22. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, because I will be held in honor by the girls of whom you have spoken. David basically says to her, you using these girls and your projected opinion on them as an excuse to check me. He says, no, I know the game. You trying to speak bitterness through somebody else's mouth. He says, I am giving God praise because of what God has done. And if you think I've been praising him, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's bad grammar, but that's good preaching, y'all. He says, oh, I'm getting ready to give God some sure enough praise now. And the very ones that you said are looking at me funny, they gonna join me. My brothers and my sisters, David said, because the Lord chose me above your father and his family. I don't know, Michael may have been a daddy's girl. It's almost like David says, you better check the name on that marriage license. Check your address. Your daddy gone. He says, and God has appointed me the leader of his people. My brothers and my sisters, let me just get ready to close by telling you this. You got to get to a point, and you got to get to a place where the opinion of other people don't matter. You got to get to a point, and you got to get to a place where you don't respond with anger. You don't respond to people with pride. You don't respond to people with revenge. You don't respond with people that I'm going to get you back. You respond out of the blessings that God has put in your life. Somebody in here, you got to learn to stop giving people access to you to make you act in an ungodly way. Because they really can't make you without your permission. And somebody hear me today. There's a blessing in blocking. I said there's a blessing in the blocking. Some of y'all talking about, wait, Pastor, what you talking about? There's a blessing when you learn how to block some people. You ain't got to answer every phone call. Just because they call on me, you got to take the call. You got to block them. Block them and receive your blessing in Jesus' name. Block them, block them, block them, block them. Almost feel like T.D. Jakes now. Block them, block them, block them, block them, block them, block them. Block them, block them, block them, block them. Hey, boy, shout out. Block them, block them, block them. Some folk need to be blocked. I told you Bam Adebayo had this tremendous game, 83 points, broke Kobe's modern record, man. The Kobe lovers, they were hating. Oh, my God, it was such disingenuous play, and the teams wasn't playing defense at the end. Like the NBA plays defense anytime other than the playoffs, right? I mean, they just crazy. And so a couple of days later, Bam's coach, Eric Spoelstra, they call him Spo, made a statement. Now, they have been criticizing the Washington Wizards, the team that they played against. They criticized the Miami Heat for leaving him in the game, even though he had only played 42 minutes. They criticized the coaching staff of the Miami Heat. And here's what Eric Spoelstra said. He said, "I apologize to no one." Oh, my God, y'all. Because he had me. Because when he said, "I apologize," man, I stopped and looked at the TV. I said, "Who is he going to apologize to?" He said, "I apologize to no one." David said, "I apologize to no one." I can hear David saying, "Michael, I'm not apologizing to you, because everything I've done has been because of the goodness of God in my life." And David said, "I'm not going to allow bitterness, the bitterness of Michael, to rob me of my joy, because God has been too good to me, and I'm too blessed to be bitter." Somebody today, I need you to leave here today, no matter how bitter somebody has been to you. I need you to leave here today determined that you are too blessed to be bitter. Don't let somebody pull you down to their low level of thinking and pull you down to their low level of talking and pull you down to their low level of living. Let them know God has been too good to me for me to respond to your bitterness with more bitterness. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, when I think about how far he brought me, oh, wait a minute, I know y'all always been where you've been, but when I look back in my own life and see how far God has brought me, see how he made a way for me, see how he kept me through danger, seen and unseen, seeing how he covered me until I recovered, see how he made a way when there was no way. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he done for me, my soul rejoices, and I'm determined that I'm not going to be bitter, because I've been too blessed in my life. When I look back in my life, I'm not going to let the haters pull me down. I'm not going to let family who act like foes pull me down. I'm not going to let my enemies get the satisfaction of pulling me down to their level. But I'm going to give them the glory. I'm going to give them the praise, because God has been too good to me. Because who I am, God made me. What I know, God taught me. Where I am, God brought me. And where I'm going, God's going to lead me. Yeah! I'm trying to stop y'all, I promise you. Yeah! See, I don't praise God because you understand it. And I don't praise God because you approve of it. I don't praise God because I want your okay on it. When I think about what the Lord has done in some, you don't know like I'm gonna know what the Lord has done for me. You weren't there when he delivered me. You weren't there when he brought me out.
You weren't there when he kept me in my right mind, when I almost lost my, you weren't there.
And because you weren't there, you don't decide how I praise him. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't have that power. You don't have that right.
Hallelujah.
I'm too blessed to be bitter. I'm too blessed to be bitter. I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed. Yeah. Too bitter. Somebody's too bitter to be blessed, but I'm too blessed to be bitter. I just, because when I look back over my life, and if you think I'm not much now, woo, you don't know how far the Lord has brought me. Through many dangers, toils and snares, ups and downs, good and bad, storms and rain. Hey. But through it all, through it all, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. Father, we bless you today. I thank you, God, for those under the sound of my voice. I thank you because, God, if we're not careful, it's so easy to react in the same way that we've been approached. It's so easy when folk come at us the wrong way to respond in the wrong way. But help us, God, keep our lives, our minds, our spirits anchored in you. So God, no matter what comes our way from day to day, we can remember how you have blessed us in our past, how you are blessing us right now, how to respond when others come at us, respond out of those blessings, and help us to never give the bitter people the place in our lives to make us act in a way that does not honor you. We give you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed to be bitter. Too blessed to be bitter. Just let that sit in your spirit. God has blessed all of us so much so that we don't need to be bitter. Yeah, life deals us shorthand sometimes. Things happen. But the word of God is telling us that we're still blessed. Those of you can and will, please stand on your feet. We've heard a word from the Lord today, a powerful word from the Lord today that has reminded us of his goodness. Now, he's been good to everybody in here. He deserves a better, no, we need to acknowledge his goodness. And somebody here today, you've experienced it. You know that you need to come to a saving faith. You've been putting it off and putting it off. And God has been blessing you and bringing you through. Today is a good day for you to go ahead on and surrender and give God your life right now. And when we come to this time of the service, it's a time for you to respond. It's a time for you to respond to the word that has been preached. And we do it intentionally because we don't want you to miss an opportunity. And one of the reasons we don't want you to miss this opportunity, because tomorrow is not promised. It's today. It's the right now. As the pastor talked about, right now. You can bless God right now. You can receive right now the gift that God gave unto all of us. Right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to keep putting it off. You're here today because you need to do something today. God didn't send you here, let you come here today just by accident. No, you're here intentionally so that God could do something in your life. So we give you an opportunity right now to respond to the preached word, to respond to God's goodness in your life. So we extend to you right now an opportunity to come just as you are. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, we can celebrate, we can celebrate, yes. We can celebrate because if you didn't want to be the first one, she already took care of that. You can come now. You can respond now to this preached word. There's somebody here today that still needs to come. We're going to wait on you. We're going to give you time to come just as you are. We want you to join today because God is calling you. He's seeking you. He's giving you every chance. He's brought you through some things. You didn't even know how you were going to get through it, but he brought you through it. And you're here today because God brought you through it. You ought to come now and give him your life and surrender your life because he gave his only son just for you. So you might not want to come, and we give an opportunity to go and use that QR code that's on the screen and let us know that you want to accept Christ. And on your outline, you can use that code as well. But we want to give everybody an opportunity here today to come. Because today is the day. Today is the day, not tomorrow. Today is the day. You're not here by accident. I guarantee you're not. You just didn't roll up at 3015 North McGregor because you lost your way. No, you came here intentionally to hear this word today. And God is speaking to you. So we're going to give you every opportunity to come just as you are. Come now. We extend to you as Minister Taylor sings.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. I'll praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. I vow to praise the good and the bad. I'll praise you, whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do.
Somebody has been talking to someone and they're praying that they come to a saving faith. You've been investing your time and giving them all that God is giving you, and that person is here today. You're here today because somebody prayed for you. You're here today because somebody had you on their mind and lifted you up, and today is a day for you to respond to that. And God is tugging at you, and you're saying, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. Don't keep putting God off. Today is a chance to do that. Today is the chance to do it. Today. God has allowed you to see one more signal day from the Lord for you to respond. God hadn't given up on you. He hadn't given up on you. He's waiting on you. Amen. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on. God's waiting on you. He's not giving up on you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. 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 Handout, or you still want to come, you can use that QR code and let us know. We don't want you to leave here today and miss this opportunity. Let us pray for our brother and sister that have come. Lift your hands and stretch your hands out. God, we come now asking for special blessings on our brother and sister, Lord, that has come. We don't know where they are, Lord, but we know that they've made a decision. And we thank you for their decision, Lord. And we pray and we lift them up to you right now in the strong name of Jesus, Lord, that you answer their prayer and you bless them beyond measure. And Lord, we thank you that you've given the Good Hope Church an opportunity to disciple them and walk with them on this journey, Lord. And so thank you and give us what we need so that we can help them. And we lift him up right now in the strong and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Show some love, church. Yes. All right. Just follow the signs there. Powerful, powerful word today. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for the under shepherd of this church. All right, church family, it is now time for the offering. Now, the 8 o'clock crowd was smaller, but they was louder. Y'all can do a little bit better. Amen.